Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air on this Friday, the 2nd of May. How are you feeling? It's a bank holiday weekend. With thanks to the trade unions, hon, the communists. They gave us some good things, didn't they? Yeah, what are the tricks like out there? It's been a long week for you, or a short week. Felt short for me. I was off on Monday, but tap out your thoughts anyway to us in the usual way, of course, on the WhatsApp. That's 087 032 32 32, and email is oliver@rte.ie. We've got loads and loads to do this morning. Emer McLeisett is our visiting critic because it's Friday. That's the complete Aisling writer who also pens a very good column, which we're fans of on this programme. Tips to buy Christmas presents for children of friends. Remember that one? Never, ever, ever buy stickers for people that you, little children, you don't live with. How to cope with men who smack you with their massive backpacks and rucksacks when you're on public transport and don't seem to notice it. And the guilt we all feel when we don't make the most of sunny weather. That's kind of the gist of some of the recent columns that have caught our eye here. And Emer is on the spot. What is she going to be reviewing for you, though, outside her comfort zone? Driving a bus. This is something I would love to do. She hopped on with a day out with Dublin Bus and got to drive a full double-decker in the private training grounds of this great institution of ours, Dublin Bus. It wasn't a ghost bus either. It was an actual real bus that turned up and was there and so on. 51551 is the text. Email will be coming into us later on. Lots as well going all around the place. Obviously, Callan's Kicks on air this evening. I'm watching the housing czar, because Russian culture is so hot right now. It is over. Apparently he has withdrawn, in inverted commas, although the Irish Times reports Fine Gael blocks the appointment of Brendan McDonagh. That's your man from Nama, who was on secondment for the NTMA and was being seconded to the housing czar thing. No longer being seconded, he's now being halved back, I'd say, to the NTMA as Nama winds down. The Irish Daily Mail: Harris blocks the appointment of the controversial housing czar and opens a rift in the coalition. Oh no, what will they do? Just carry on as they usually do. Just somebody build houses. Just don't forget, that's the bit that we want to see happening. By the way, one of the biggest and most serious stories of the week, of course, was the Grace report. I don't know if you're watching the news last night, certainly at 6:01, footage from the Dáil debate on the issue. There were 10 people in the chamber, including only two on the government side. And you're thinking, did I just imagine it, or did they just come back to the Dáil on Tuesday? And then you've got that deeply serious issue, and the Dáil was mostly empty. Nice. You just heard in the bulletin there the hosepipe ban coming into effect in Mullingar and Kells Old Castle and in Donegal. It's the earliest ever hosepipe ban that has ever come into effect in this country, because water supplies now are historically low levels, and that is a sad face. Loch Owel, which supplies Mullingar, Loch Ban, which supplies Kells Old Castle, and Loch Columkill, which is Milford and Donegal, have never been as low in water so early in the year as now. Of course, it was a very, very sunny April. They broke the record in England yesterday, I see, for the hottest 1st of May on their records, and we've had the hottest April day ever in Athenry as well. So enjoyable the sun is, they're all harbingers of terrible things that are going on. We need something to cheer ourselves up. Tom Hanks always cheers you up, doesn't he? Yeah. Tom Hanks wrote yesterday that he is 37 years married today. And Hollywood marriages generally tend to fail quite spectacularly, and we know about them very quickly. So what is the secret behind Tom Hanks and Miss Wilson? Rita Wilson is his wife of 37 years now. He wrote a message to her. She wrote a message back to him as well. He's 68 years of age, and he said the secret to a lasting marriage is finding each other. How about that? Simple as that. Of course, he's on the second time out. They met on the when Miss Wilson, Rita Wilson, guest starred in the sitcom Bosom Buddies. Wouldn't get away with that nowadays, would they? Which launched Tom Hanks' career, didn't know that, and worked together on another film in 1984. He divorced in 1987 and married the new Mrs. very successfully the following year. Excellent. I see the Irish Daily Mail is following up on our story, our conversation with Adam Clayton, where he confirmed the new U2 album happening next year, and that they're going to make an announcement later on in the year. Good stuff. Stuff happening in the in the cinemas at the moment. Actually, no, I want to jump back to today is David Beckham's birthday. There's stuff in the papers about that. He's 50 years of age today, which will make us all feel old. Then I went into the birthdays and found that Lily Allen is 40 today. Although she's David Harbour, that relationship's broken down, hasn't it? And David Attenborough is also around the place in the press because he's 99 next week and he's promoting a new film that's being released in the cinemas next week. It's called Ocean with David Attenborough. And he's saying, when I first saw the sea as a young boy, it was thought of as a vast wilderness to be tamed and mastered. But now, as I approach the end of my life, it's quite sad to hear someone say that, but he is going to be 99 next week. He says, we know the opposite is true. I've lived for nearly 100 years on this planet. I understand the most important place on Earth is not land, but the sea. And today it's in very poor health. And basically he's saying, if we save the sea, we will save our world. And after a lifetime of filming the planet, he is sure nothing is more important. And that's Ocean with David Attenborough. An extraordinary man. It's also coming out on Disney Plus later in the year, but it's getting a cinema release this day week, basically, or the next Thursday. An amazing man. He grew up, of course, in very privileged circumstances, but he certainly made the most of it and contributed way beyond his due. He was a very influential television executive, wasn't he, on the BBC in the 1960s? And I was reading a thing only yesterday saying that he was the one who got the BBC to start showing snooker on TV when he was in charge of sport. He convinced Wimbledon, the extraordinarily conservative club, that they needed to change the colour of their tennis balls to yellow tennis balls with the advent of colour television. He said it would be much more spectacular and make it easy for people to follow the action when they were dressed all in whites and so on. And Match of the Day was a young programme and he saved it from being cancelled. They were sick of it. And famously, as director of programmes of the Beeb, he famously commissioned Monty Python's Flying Circus. So he is a telly legend in many, many ways. And the Daily Mail is covering today our story, our conversation with Adam Clayton. That, yes, I've said that already, haven't I? Where am I? Callan's Kicks, working late at night on a Thursday. It's not recommended. Final Destination is everywhere at the moment, on buses, trailers and your pop-up ads and everything, just because this movie franchise, which has been dormant for 14 years, is back. And I, for one, am celebrating this absolute hokey nonsense that is, you know, 90 minutes of teenage horror silliness. Final Destination is basically people have a premonition that they're all going to die in a terrible way, and then they cheat death, and one by one these teenagers, basically the most promiscuous of the ones, go first. That's the rules of noughties horror and 90s and every other decade before them. And so it's back, Final Destination. Does it have a kind of a name? I can't really find it here anyway. But basically it makes everyone terrified of everyday things. Innocuous objects have got a bad name. It is time again, says the Guardian, to be prepared to be terrified of tattoo parlours, barbecues, revolving doors. You can add roller coasters, sunbeds as well, which was a real throwback in the third installation, because I started flicking through some of them recently. The new film, by the way, arrives at a time filled with nostalgic horror plays. The seventh Scream franchise has just finished production. It's coming out next year, and there's been a rehaul of I Know What You Did Last Summer. Do you remember that? From 20 years ago, starring Jennifer Love Hewitt. That's coming out in July, and there's also a remake of Urban Legend, which I'm pretty sure is late 90s. Daft horror, but just like, I just can't stop watching them. Final Destination Bloodlines is the name of the latest ones. There you go. There's nothing serious that happens in it, don't worry, despite their attempts. They're the really funny bits, actually, when they try to be po-faced about things. Actually, in book news, I was reading Louise Hegarty's. She's a Cork debut author, Fair Play, got good reviews. It is an amazing love note to historic crime novels. Wilkie Collins, Eat Your Heart Out. It even addresses the reader and says, go back now and read the rules that you skipped on page 10 or whatever it is, which we did. But it's kind of it starts out with a murder mystery in a country house with lots of interesting characters. And it's a New Year's Eve party and a birthday party. And obviously somebody doesn't make it through the night. Doom, doom, doom. There's also some serious notes on grief as well, which the whole thing really, really works. Fair Play, Louise Hegarty. That's the hot recommendation for sure. Now, what's happening up north? Councillors have approved a pilot plan for extended Sunday shopping. I thought they had lifted this lovely thing that happens in the continent where all the shops are closed on Sundays. And we got rid of it because we wanted to be more American in the 90s, and it's a terrible thing. First of all, for retail staff who don't get their Sundays off and they'll have to work through it. But also the atmosphere of a town is completely different when everyone's just wandering around for coffees and to look here and there, particularly when you go to the continent, you notice that. Councillors in Belfast, says the Irish News, have agreed a plan to temporarily allow big stores across Belfast to open for longer on a Sunday in defiance of a near three decades old Northern-wide law against extended hours. Sinn Féin and the Alliance joined forces to back the plan for a pilot scheme, they're calling it. Pilot schemes always end up as permanent, don't they? And supporters say will allow giant retailers to open their doors beyond the current 5 hours. Major retailers, Tesco and Lidl, will be invited not to worry if their doors are open longer than allowed. So there you go. So it's American now. It's Americanized. All part of the kind of thing. It's a big sporting weekend, by the way, particularly for Leinster fans. Leinster take on Northampton Saints. That's happening tomorrow on Lansdowne Road. It is the semi-final of the Champions Cup, formerly the Heineken thing. And there's great history here. 2011, the Saints blew 22-6 halftime lead to Leinster in the final. Johnny Sexton then did the big stunning comeback. There was a raucous changing room speech. They came out and they claimed a big title as well. But 12 months ago, the Northampton side, they came with a very close, a whisper of upsetting the Full House in Croke Park. Remember the Full House in Croke Park? It was the 1st of May last year. Leinster hung on for 2017 victory over Northampton in the semi-final, but of course they didn't go all the way. So they're going back. Well, they're going to the Aviva this time with the brown Thomas bags adorning their shoulders. It's a real thing, because remember a pub said they would offer free pints to Leinster fans who crossed the Liffey with a brown Thomas bag, and they did, and they got the free pints and so on. The official Leinster Supporters Club had an open mic event lately, and they basically said, you know, we want you to get chants that can be sung at the matches, keep the atmosphere going throughout because people go to and fro the bar and so on. They want organic, and they need the full buy-in from supporters on match days in order for these chants to grow. So here's one of these suggestions, a warning to viewers that Leinster fans are contained Leinstering hard in this clip of their proposed chant.
Are we human?
Oh yeah. See, you're upset now already, aren't you?
The other players.
Oh, God.
They want to know where the wrong ladies looking for the answer.
Here comes the punchline.
Are we human? Or are we Leinster?
Or are we Leinster? God, that took forever. And if it does not endear you to Leinster fans, I don't know what will. I heard Donal Linehan saying there on Morning Ireland, only 30,000 people have bought tickets for that. Whatever's going on, the May Bank holiday weekend. Or maybe the fans are saving for the expected final in Cardiff, where they'll be playing the winners of Bordeaux or Toulon or Toulouse. I think it's Toulon. Is it Toulon or Toulouse? Toulouse. Toulouse and versus Bordeaux. That's also the other semi-final. And they haven't won it since 2018. Champions Cup semi-final, Leinster, Northampton Saints, tomorrow live on RTÉ2 Telly. And you can also hear it on Saturday Sport here on RTÉ Radio 1. By the way, some great recommendations for you on Bank Holiday Monday radio listening, because there's good programmes here. Brenda Behan, Confessions on Record, is at 11:30. It's about unheard tapes of Behan that found their way to London, got pressed into vinyl. We have an excerpt here, actually. I wouldn't mind playing you.
Brendan Francis, 3501537662. He said, Behan, you're due for release this morning. And at least, he said, they made quite a man of you. He said, when I pinched you, he said you were a skinny kid. Now he said you're a fine man.
He's a great voice, isn't he? That seems to be Brendan talking about being released from the Borstal in 1941. Brendan Behan, Confessions on Record, made by Jim O'Donoghue Martin. That's Monday at 11:30. And I spoke to him here a couple of years ago. Voice notes before there were voice notes. This was the On Pulse tapes. Remember that Irish people used to send to emigrated loved ones by Austin Kenny. And that Doc on One, it is the Doc on One, May Bank Holiday Monday at 2 p.m. And you'll get everything as well on the RTÉ Radio Player. Voice notes before voice notes.